This week on Behind the Showroom, Hyundai and Amazon team up, EV batteries are getting cheaper, faster, and lighter, Stellantis shakes things up, and a whole lot of recalls. It's time to go Behind the Showroom. Alrighty, let's get into the first topic. From Wired, you can now buy a car on Amazon. Customers in over 48 American states can now hop onto Amazon Autos and search for the Hyundai make and model they want. Then find vehicles at nearby dealerships with a combination of features they want. Shoppers can select trim, color, interior features, then get a valuation on their current vehicle to estimate a trade-in price. Amazon says it's working with independent third parties to determine trade-in values and that more manufacturers will be joining the service next year. They've also said the biggest advantage is the ability to have transparent upfront pricing with no hidden charges such as document fees or dealer installed options that are infuriating to most car buyers.
Not surprised. Honestly, yeah. Genesis is there. Tesla's also there.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
I like the personal touch of actually getting someone to walk you through it rather than looking at a sheet of paper and being like, oh, okay. I like getting someone to demonstrate things. It's so much easier to understand. I feel like with that, you won't even understand a lot of the features you have on your car until 5 years later. You're like,
I didn't even know my car could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to sound really weird, but I think it's coming for our jobs a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Eventually nobody's going to have jobs. Yeah. It's all going to be automated. They're going to find a way to replace every single person. Then what are we going to do then?
So I'm interested to see, because it says it's involving the dealerships, but there was no word on sales consultants. So I don't know if that would be assigned. So the customer still has to go to the dealership to pick up the vehicle.
Okay.
So the dealership does the PDI.
They paperwork.
Absolutely. Yeah. All that stuff. Just Amazon will do the financing and the selection and whatnot. So it still could be up to sales consultants to do things like vehicle tours and add that personal touch to it.
So do they get test drives?
No. But that's the same thing with Tesla, right? Tesla owns their showrooms. Tesla corporate owns all of their showrooms, and then they're really just a delivery point more than anything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I would not want to even think about a car that proceed to finance a car that I've never driven before.
Never touched, never seen, never
exactly.
Felt.
It's just all right.
But
where is it? And you pull it up and you're just man, I already paid for this thing. And it's this is kind of small. I need something bigger than this.
But nowadays everybody's just so, informative about everything that's out there. And then when they come in store, they don't want to drive the vehicle. They don't want to look at it. They just want to, get the numbers, get everything done. And then a year down the road, they're I don't actually like this car anymore.
Oh, yeah. And some people come in and they think they know everything.
Yeah.
Be I'm the guy who deals with these every day.
Well, it's good to be informed, though.
Yeah,
it's
good, it is good to be informed.
But, if you're talking to a specialist, right?
If you're talking to yours truly.
Definitely not.
I'm quite well informed.
Oh, brother.
This guy stinks. I think I'm going to miss, a personal touch. There's no way you can look at a computer screen, just tap a few buttons, and then be that's it.
So, next topic. From Electrek and TCD, EV battery prices are plummeting, and that's great news for buyers. This year will mark the steepest decline since 2017. A 20% drop in price was reported this year, attributed to new tech, greater overall production, and cheaper alternatives hitting the market. Bloomberg and Goldman Sachs research are both predicting prices will continue to plummet over the next 5 years, meaning sooner than expected, electric vehicles will be more affordable than comparable gas cars. This comes as Taiwan-based company Prologium announces the world's 100% silicone composite anode for electric vehicle batteries, enabling 5-minute 300-kilometer range charging capability and a huge reduction in battery rate at around 661 pounds per vehicle.
Dang. I knew there was a different new, type of battery coming out. I didn't know it was, hard to say.
100% silicone composite anode for electric vehicle batteries?
do we know where that comes from? Is it just easier to source?
So, from what I understand, silicone... this is my very limited knowledge, so I'm going to give you my best bet here. I tried to do some research on it, but it's a very complex thing to break down. But batteries work by, you know, layers. Electrons and like, you know, they go up, they discharge,
they do the
and
thing.
Then they, you know, they go up and go down. Silicone is like used for like transistors, semiconductors. Like it's like what, you know, CPUs and GPUs are essentially.
Yeah, like ice trays.
Right.
Baking sheets.
100%. Not
windowsills.
Not that silicone, but yes. Absolutely. And essentially, silicone is just a great material, and they figured out how to use it in batteries for the composite anode, whatever that means. You guys talk about this, about batteries, and I will do a little more research on this, and I'll get back to you.
So, okay. Batteries.
Batteries.
We've got those.
Well, we know how expensive they've been to replace. They're not the cheapest thing.
No.
But
it's also not the worst thing. I feel like when people think that replacing a battery, it's like replacing the entire car. It's absolutely not like that whatsoever.
The thing is that like have these people that are worried, well, I'm going to have to, how much is it to replace a battery? It's like one of the first questions people ask me. How long are you going to own this car?
Not only that, I'm sorry, I have to cut in. It is the rarest situation that you have to replace an EV battery. Like there are multiple reports that they're even lasting longer than initially anticipated in terms of like longevity.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like covered in like 5 inches of steel, brother. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to this car?
I don't,
what are you doing to this car?
I don't think it's the battery that's more or less a worry when it comes to like longevity. I think it's the motor. Because if you think about it, where that motor sits on the wheel in like a place like Regina, Saskatchewan, where there's a crap ton of snow on the ground, there's a crap ton of mud, slush, whatever the case, it has to go through a lot just sitting
that is
on that
true.
Low.
That is true. But like, a lot of people worry about the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so we have a warranty. It's like 8 years, 160,000. And if your battery craps out, we replace it. Also, if it drops below the 70% threshold, we replace it. I guarantee you, like, just swear, someone's asked me it on a lease before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's people are average tenure for people owning cars. It's probably around like 6 years.
No, I'd say. Yeah.
Probably around 6 years. This
is the
average time someone owns a car. Excuse me. But the warranty will cover you for that whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how long do you think you're going to own this car? Like, again, it's like someone who walks in and is like, okay, I need all the best warranty. I need all of that. Just to trade it off 2 years later.
In general, these are very strong components.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like kind of the only part other than like the suspension that will wear in terms of movement and moving parts. So I don't know if I'm so much worried about that. I mean, like, that's the thing. People, they have this perspective on EVs that they're like weak or they can't handle anything. But it's like they're extremely tough cars, especially compared to a ICE combustion vehicle that has so many things that can break.
They handle great in the winter too.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. No. The one thing I'm like,
well, I mean, they're heavy, so
yeah,
they got lots of traction.
The one thing I'm like weirded out by is like, great question. Would the motors rust?
I mean, I wouldn't believe so. They're sealed though, aren't
they?
It would be like asking if an ICE engine would rust, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you left it in the ocean, I think it would.
Like, the fact that it, like, it's got like a, I can't think of the word right now, but it spins, right? Like, there's the motor that spins and everything that spins, the wheel and the axle. It's all like encased, because if there was ever to get water or moisture in there, it wouldn't be that great. And it's like the same thing with like a combustion engine too. If you get water in your intake, then you're kind of screwed, right?
Yeah, like I guess so, but you never really know what's gonna go on.
I mean,
especially in Canada. Oh, you go to Ontario, with the salt on the roads is crazy.
Does it have access from the bottom of the vehicle though? Because aren't there plates underneath?
There's
there
like skid plates. Yeah.
There might be those skid
plates. So I don't think like moisture could realistically. I mean, unless you like, you know, went into water and whatnot.
Well, if you think about from like the wheel well though, because that's a little bit higher up and your wheel spins.
Oh, yeah.
You have,
and right? Let's be honest. I used to work underneath cars, and not a lot of those skid plates are intact.
Oh yeah.
In Canada.
Yeah.
They do not stay.
Those
like
little dinky plastic clips
that break as soon as you touch them.
Let's be real.
It's also the fact that when you're driving down the road and you see a big chunk of fucking ice and snow. Sorry for the cuss word.
You're good.
The big chunk of snow and ice that's just chilling on the road, and you have to drive under it, and you can't really swerve away from it. That kind of affects your skid plate a little bit.
So maybe back to batteries. So I tried to do some research on. I don't really have a quick explanation I can give you, but I think this is huge in terms of EV adoption. I mean, that's the biggest complaint is the price. So having that come down, I mean, I think Kia, Hyundai, and there's really only a couple companies that are really set up to take on China in terms of producing, you know, low-cost EVs. Yeah. What's that company called?
BYD.
BYD. Yeah.
That has the car that can jump, pretty much.
Yeah, they're pretty much at the peak right now. And that is because China controls, like, 98% of lithium batteries.
Oh, for sure. Right? So, yeah.
Wow.
You know, China
number one.
China number one. when it comes to pricing, though, like, if you're looking for an EV and you think that they're expensive, just to think about when cars came out as a whole, right? Mm. They barely could do anything.
And they were,
you had to be loaded, mm-hmm. like the Great Gatsby loaded to afford a car like that.
It's with any new technology. The initial adoption is going to be the most expensive. We are no longer in the initial adoption phase of electronic vehicles anymore. But, you know, to give anything to Elon and the Tesla people is that they did do that groundwork for the most of us, right? But, yeah, like Dodge's Charger Daytona just started arriving in dealerships a couple of days ago. $70,000 for their starting
point.
And that's Stellantis and doing Stellantis things.
Let's wait for that topic before we get in depth on that one.
We'll get into that. But that's a little sneak peek at the next topic. From the street and the BBC, Stellantis CEO Carlos Tavares quits and Ram CEO Tim Kuniskis returns. The boss of the car-making giant Stellantis, Carlos Tavares, has quit with immediate effect following a boardroom clash. Tavares fixated on near-term costs and profits to the detriment of the business and the company's products, like producing too many cars of the wrong type, failing to adapt to changing customers' tastes, and losing ground to more dynamic rivals. This comes as Tim Kuniskis returns to his seat as Ram CEO, but notably not Dodge.
What were they thinking? that's like, what were you thinking? Oh my god, I feel like we saw this coming. Mm-hmm. Chrysler, mm-hmm. the Pacifica, mm-hmm. Hemi, no Hemi.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where do I start? The Hornet. Mm-hmm. The Hornet needs better, way better gas mileage.
Average,
oh my god!
Average lot time of 350 plus days.
Yeah.
The Wrangler is discontinued, isn't it?
No.
No.
God no.
Some type of Wrangler.
The Renegade. That's the only thing I can think of that they would cancel. The Wrangler is their moneymaker.
No, it was either the Hybrid or the Hemi.
Oh, the 392.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that we knew that though. We knew that though.
Okay.
Yeah, that was getting canceled. That was like their last hurrah thing. Like Wrangler was always a 3.6 liter Pentastar V6, and more recently, like we're talking like 20.
Oh yeah, I know they just put it in
2020. I think they put it in the Wrangler. Mm-hmm. I think. Don't quote me on that, but yeah. So that was really just for the last years that they could put V8s in vehicles.
Just makes it easier to roll over.
100%.
So I mean, to get back on point, like, I don't know how Tim can save this, honestly. Like,
he ain't trying to save Dodge. He's like, he put his hands up on that.
Like Tavares, or however you say his name.
I just call him Carlos.
I guess, fair. Yeah. Well, Carlos, bro, just said buy V8 and then freaking dipped. Just like dipped. He's like, oh, we'll just turn it into two American muscle legacy cars. We'll just turn it into EVs.
Yeah.
And then just.
Yeah, that is one of the worst decisions.
I just wanted to say they were expected to have 12 to 14 months left if they couldn't figure their crap out. That's all.
Yeah. Speaking as someone who is very close to Stellantis dealers and knows people who works at them, it's been a lot of years of mismanagement. Mm-hmm. I mean, just comparing it to Kia, who is constantly keeping their cars up to date and on the ball. I mean, the Compass is still running on the same platform as years ago. So was the Renegade. Think about the Charger and the Challenger not getting a single interior update for four generations until recently, or an exterior, really. I mean, they added the wide body and that was it. In terms of Jeep, again, like Wrangler got an upgrade, but they did most of their legwork for upgrades in 2018, 2019. They did their Wrangler, the Ram, and then they did the Grand Cherokee in 2021, mm-hmm. and they've been sitting on their hands. I mean, think about Alfa Romeo. Their average is five vehicles per dealer per month.
Yeah, like, that's harsh.
That's
Maserati is sort of in that same
pile as well. Maserati, you hear any review and they are at the bottom of reliability scores.
Now, okay, but when it comes to like high-end cars though, like high-end luxury sports cars, the Cello is actually a very nice car. Very nice carbon forged doors.
I want someone else to buy a Maserati.
For sure. I think
just sit in your Maserati. I just wouldn't want to own it.
I think they should go back to Italian, honestly.
Honestly, the
same with Alfa.
The only brand that has really been, and I'm not talking from a numbers perspective, but from an image perspective, sort of been handled well, I would say, is the Fiat brand, and that's not even in North America. That's just in Europe.
Yeah. Europe, they're huge.
Yeah, Europe, they're massive. But like the 500 electric obviously does horribly here. It doesn't have the range to be here.
But people like the 124s.
Yeah, and Canada's huge. So they're really not going to be. Yeah.
And then, I've seen on TikTok, like the Spider, like their sports car, that's not, it's like a Miata equivalent.
Yeah,
right?
It
like,
is a Miata.
It is, yeah. And it's been doing really well in the North.
I mean, well, they killed it, but The used, like, they're, it's one of the only Fiats with a good resale value.
Yeah. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, yeah. Do they still make the Dodge Grand Caravan and the Journey?
So do you want me to go into it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll
break it down for you. Journey's long gone. Journey was one of the, it was a really good seller, but it's one of the most hated
vehicles. Destination.
Exactly. But so here's what happened with the Grand Caravan got discontinued when they brought the Pacifica. Okay, so Chrysler made the Pacifica, right? That did very well for them for years. They redesigned the Pacifica. That carried the nameplate with the redesign, and then they took the old design of the Pacifica, called it the Grand Caravan, and gave it to Dodge. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dodge now has a new Grand Caravan.
A Grand Caravan, technically. Wow. Okay. Or, no, let me correct myself. That is correct. They call it the Grand Caravan. I'm wrong. They call it the Grand Caravan, but it's still under Chrysler. And they also have another version called the Voyager, which is the cheapest.
The Plymouth. That's what Plymouth used to have, the Voyager.
Which is the Voyager, sorry, which is the cheapest minivan they make. So it's like an iPhone SE equivalent for a minivan.
The Plymouth used to be like the base model.
Totally.
Yeah. Now it's Dodge because Dodge sucks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But but that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, also, if you haven't seen it, they still make the Journey in Mexico.
Oh, I'm so
and
sorry to hear that.
Actually,
Mexico.
Redesign them and they don't look terrible.
No. Mexico. So I have seen that.
See, but everything other than Canada and US market has so much better options that are tailored to their, like, in Mexico, you want, like, I don't know. Like, the Seltos is even so much different in Mexico.
You know what's
right?
cool? The K3 in Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I really think is really weird? They have the Cavaliers in Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh,
Chevy Cavaliers.
Wow,
and it's, like, updated. It's not like the cheap Cavalier that you would see that's, like,
does
a
does that just come down to nameplates being more popular geographically?
I think so. They also have, like, Volkswagen trucks.
Yeah.
They have
the buses and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of different things there.
This is so random and out of nowhere, but, you know, the ID Buzz?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I didn't figure out until recently that they called it the ID Buzz because it sounds like bus.
Yeah.
That did not click for me for the longest
time.
Do you know how
much that thing costs?
80 grand.
95.
In Canada?
In Canada. That is, like, crazy. It doesn't have that great of range. It's just a cool little, you know, like, bus van thing that'll just sit in your garage if you want to. I don't know. I don't get it.
That was such a fumble on Volkswagen. Sorry, we're not talking about Volkswagen, but I was so excited for that vehicle, and it just completely let me down with the price. And you look at the interior, and it's cheap, and I'm like, that's not a $95,000 vehicle.
Sorry, want to go back to price.
Yes.
Jeep, Dodge, Stellantis.
Their
price, their resale value is absolutely absurd.
It's so bad. If you want any sort of mid-spectrum that has features for a Stellantis product, you're spending 70, 80, 90 grand.
For sure.
Period.
For a vehicle that's worth maybe 40.
The next day.
Yep. I've had so many customers that wanted to trade in their Jeep Cherokee, and they bought it in 2022, and it's like, how much do you owe? I owe 58 or 52, and the vehicle is worth 30 now.
Mm-hmm.
It is insane, and I'm like, and it's like,
I've seen that too, like plus 40K negative equity on these Stellantis products, and it's just because there's so many on the market. no one wants them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only upside for customers is a good lease rate, but lease rate for a vehicle you don't want to buy.
Leasing would be good because that way you don't have to worry about resale or anything like that. If you're going to go for a Stellantis product,
lease it.
Which I wouldn't, but if you do, lease it.
Is a choice, but
not lease mine, it. But
do not buy lease.
Yeah.
So Tyler and Matthew have customers. So we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, the lighting will probably be different because it'll be a different time of day.
Duty calls, boys. Duty calls.
See you soon. Go Erie.
Try it again.
Yep.
One more time.
From the top.
Right back.
You got it.
From Go Erie and Reuters, it was the week of recalls. General Motors, Honda, Stellantis, and Hyundai Group have recalled roughly 880,000 vehicles collectively. Stellantis has recalled 317,000 trucks from 2017 to 2018 over a hydraulic control unit which may fail and cause the anti-lock brake, electronic stability control, and traction control systems to fail.
What?
Honda is recalling good for Honda. They're moving up in the world. 205,000 passports and pilot vehicles for an issue causing the fuel filler neck tube and fuel filler pipe to separate, allowing fuel to leak. General Motors is recalling 131,000 vehicles equipped with power unlatching tailgates. The tailgate's electronic gate release switch may short circuit due to water intrusion, causing the tailgate to inadvertently unlatch. And Hyundai Group is recalling 226,000 vehicles in the U.S. over concerns with the rear view camera. The image may fail, so they're just replacing all them. And this comes after Toyota recalled over 1,000 trucks last month for a total engine replacement. I want to take the lead on this one. Recalls are a good thing. They're a good thing. You want a recall. I mean, you don't want a recall, but if there's going to be an issue, you want the manufacturer to own up to it and call the vehicle back.
And catch it in time.
Absolutely.
Like I got a recall for my car, and it says, hey, just so you know, you have an emissions thingy, but we don't have a part for it, so you don't have to call yet. And when there's a part, we'll let you know. Awesome. Recalls are not bad. Everybody has recalls. I know the media immediately goes straight to, oh my God, Kia has a recall. Oh my God, Hyundai has a recall. Oh my God. And then when Toyota has it and Honda has it, it's like, oh.
Well, they're just making their cars better. Well, they just had like one slip up.
I think people need to give these companies, every single automotive company on the planet, a little bit more benefit of the doubt. Do you know how complicated it is to build a functioning vehicle? A vehicle that, think about even an EV with less moving parts, how complicated it is.
All right, here are the tools. Build an engine.
Yeah,
exactly.
You do it.
Build an anti-lock brake system.
Yeah. You try it and get back to us and tell us how easy
build
it
was. Build a functional emission system.
Yeah, engineer.
Put the sensors in, function. Program it, everything.
Go ahead. You bore a cylinder head, I swear.
Cast the blocks out of steel.
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Yeah. Or aluminum.
He's waiting.
And within,
it's not perfect.
Within every reliable model that is on the market, there's going to be a lemon.
For sure. And like, if you're looking, like think about it. Anything that's mass produced, if like a bag of chips, are you going to find the exact amount of chips and like Cheeto dust?
Think about going to Carl's Jr., and getting one singular curly fry in your regular or waffle fry in your regular fries.
Absolutely.
The world isn't perfect, people.
Yeah. Or,
and that's why there's warranty.
Yeah. Or getting that one bag of Lay's that's just filled with air.
Oh, yeah. I once opened, and I shouldn't have opened it because it would have been worth money, but I didn't know. I was 12 years old. I had an empty Diet Pepsi can unopened from the factory.
No way.
Empty.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a video of it, and I crack it. Yeah. Yeah. The only reason it was so funny because I went to pick it up from the fridge. And you know, when you like you go to pick up the milk carton, but it's empty and you really overshoot it and you're like your whole body drinks back. I took this Pepsi can. It was like, wow. Like it was. Yeah.
God.
Must have been small.
Did it at least give you like a psst?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It was just the sound of like, imagine the sound of a pop can opening, but with no nothing. It was just that's it. Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I shouldn't have opened it, though. That was such a regret.
Wrap it up.
It would have been like $150. All right. Kia Connect, boys. Can I do my thing? Yeah. Can I?
Absolutely.
May I?
Tyler,
can I? May I?
Tyler, you got it.
Eric. So, I just want to shout out Kia again and again and again for being one of those companies that listens to customers. Mm. We're seeing this with the removal of gloss black from interiors. That's very much coming across
course,
the whole...
Of course, you would be the one person in the entire world.
Not the one person in the entire world. Gloss black is universally hated. How dare you? How dare you call me out?
There's a whole Reddit.
There's a whole Reddit about gloss black. They're getting rid of it. The EV6, EV9, and the Sportage all have new interiors. With the K4 has an interior with no more gloss black. It's just happening now, thank the Lord. But let's think about the Telluride DRLs, how for 1 year they switched them to white. People didn't like it. Instead of holding their ground, like let's say a company like Apple would have, being like, no, you've just got to deal with this, they're like, no, we'll change it back, that's fine, guys. I'm interested to see, and then because they heard people like the Ambers a lot, they brought it to the Carnival, the K4, now the Sportage, the Sorento.
The one thing Kia is doing really well is tying all of their vehicles into looks similar. There is not, like other car companies, they've got different styles for each vehicle. Hyundai's got the Santa Fe, and then the Tucson is just a little bit more rounded, and then you've got the Santa Fe that's like a Land Rover?
That new Palisade, though, redesign looks...
You can't say that. You work at a Kia dealership.
Whatever. I'll say this.
And you're in front of two Kia boys.
I'll say this. The Ioniq 9 looks trash, and I will stand my ground on that. But that new Palisade looks so good.
Oh, and EV6.
The redesign.
It's going to be so cool. And EV9 GT.
I know, that interior.
Oh, man.
And the EV6 GT even makes even more power.
I
think 650.
I know, it is.
Bigger battery. Like, Tesla Model S plaid. Who's that? Who's that?
Coming for you. We're not quite 1.9 yet, but we'll get there.
And we're not going to be over 100 and some grand for that EP6 either.
But again, like, I don't know if we'd even want to make a vehicle like that, because again, the Model S Plaid doesn't have the brakes to handle its speed, and it's a danger.
Oh, for sure.
Period.
Oh, 100%.
And you don't need that.
And it's Tesla.
The point of getting an EV is to be more like eco, right? Mm-hmm. In this entire world. Yeah, no. But like, I do like that we're shifting to where all of our cars sort of line up to look the same in the front.
All of our EVs have white lights. All of our gas-powered vehicles have yellow lights.
And they all look like very uniform. Yeah. You get the same look no matter which vehicle you go with.
The Sportage is looking fan-freaking-tastic. I love it. The EV9 was just created, so I'm not surprised they did virtually nothing to the exterior other than the GT calipers and whatnot.
But then our EVs... That's a different like styling overall.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, the EV6 needed the redesign. The EV6 was made before StarMap came in, so it makes complete sense that that's the one.
And
that
it looks great.
Looks fantastic. Looks so good.
The rear end, perfect. I do wish we got sequential lights though.
The sequential lights on the complete wraparound.
Wraparounds. Yeah. I would love the sequentials. They just look so clean. The ones in Korea, the EV6 ones, how they actually built into the metal part. Oh, it's so cool.
I will say though, when this EV6 drops, it's gonna be a hot one.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. So I hope to see that. I'm very excited about these new redesigns. I'm very excited to see them hit, including that we're getting a K4 GT line limited, hopefully sometime in January, February. So that's gonna be very exciting. Yes.
I have a question. Yeah. Do you think we're gonna get a Seltos that looks almost the same? Because that's the one we haven't heard anything about.
EV4.
No, like with the redesign, with the Ambers.
I would love to see an Amber DRL.
It would look so cool.
I'm going to do a little Google.
I think it was a mistake to redesign them in 2024. If they waited one more year, released it with the Sorentos.
But here's the thing. I'm going to counter with that. Seltos already has StarMap. They're just white. Keep the design you have. Make them Amber.
Yes.
Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, updated screens.
Yeah. I would also love to see... it just got everything. It's
It doesn't have Android wireless.
Wireless. Like, Android now Auto, the newer... CarPlay.
Could not care.
You need to just relax.
You'll catch me dead before I'm using wireless Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. I'm wired all the way. Yeah. It's unreliable.
Me using Android Auto because I don't have it. Yeah. Or Apple or... whatever.
To be fair, I don't even wire my phone in. I just usually turn on Bluetooth and it's like...
Triggers me.
Funny story, because I use... like, Matt typically gives me his car to go grab lunch or whatever sometimes. The last couple of times I went into his car, it was prioritizing my phone for Bluetooth.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And he's
funny.
Like, who's
look on the settings and it's him as number one. And I was like...
why are you... what? This is not your car. I'm going to let you guys go crazy on this. I only have one thing to add, which is the marketing aspect for After Dark, for this specific topic. Jaguar.
Oh, brother. This guy stinks.
Let me say this. From a marketing perspective, I can only talk about the brand image and that. That's really my realm and gateway and whatnot. What on earth are we doing? Are you selling cars or clothing? I don't understand that marketing in this video. I understand you were setting up your visual image for your brand going forward. The logo is a carbon copy of what everyone else is doing. It's a little boring. It's a little bland. It doesn't call anything. Jaguar is known for being unique, and it is the furthest thing from. I just couldn't have been more disappointed from it.
I hate it. I think they should have brought back the old logo where it's the green circle with the Jaguar's face in the middle. Yes. That's coming back. You know, retro logos are really in right now. Yes. Rather than going straight for the ugly basic design in Comic Sans looking font.
Comic Sans is a choice.
I think everybody's just making this big push forward, but a lot of the market just wants to step back.
Think about the N74 concept car. Yeah. How loved that was because it's doing what people want. Like for me, I love the Grandeur concept a lot more.
Yes, I love that one. Grandeur.
If that came out, I mean, I know they've both confirmed those models.
Very niche market.
To be getting made. It's a very niche market, and they're both going to be, that N74 will be, by the way, I did some research on this last night. N74 will be released 2027, up until the latest.
Limited run.
2030. It will be hydrogen, and it will be an upwards of $200,000 car.
Hydrogen is also a different story.
Again, it's what we're just talking about. It's a new technology. If you're going to get into it, it's going to be super expensive.
It's going to be it's a massive leap that I think that they're taking and going I can't remember what the model was called, but their like concept model they showcased in that ad. Mm. Looked like a very plain Jane Rolls Royce
knockoff.
That was an EV and that didn't look very comfortable in the interior. It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
I felt no connection to it. It was a no-name Rolls Royce.
No, for sure. And they're doing this, they're rebranding because they were losing business, right? Mm. And I think this was definitely not the choice to come back into the business, unfortunately. But, yeah.
I can't wait till a country boy gets his hands on an N74. Completely gets rid of the batteries, gets rid of the hydrogen motor, big V8. Or like put like a R35 engine in it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be like perfect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't like Nissan, but I love the Skylines. They're all great.
Poor Nissan.
That's not really like good. I mean, like the VR30. If you want to get into engine specs and shit like that, the VR30 is... Like,
don't even bring up VQs.
It's not a VQ, it's VR, stupid.
It's a trumpet. He doesn't like my take.
Just a hater, because he doesn't understand.
It's a trumpet.
I have nothing more to add.
I think I'm good.
Really wraps up this week's episode. Tune in for next week where we talk about more things. And more stuff.
More things and stuff.
If you like the podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and family. Other than that, thank you for coming along. And
thank you. We'll see you next time.
This podcast was created by Wheaton Kia in Regina, Saskatchewan, and hosted by Matthew Vonk and Tyler Prasad. Direction, production, engineering, and editing was done by Tyler Nibbs, with music by Emil Axelson. Music and sound effects are licensed by Epidemic Sound and SoundLink.